You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I am Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And we are here to talk to you not only about Star Trek Voyager in general, but Season 1. That's right, we're starting at the beginning. We're starting anew, because what we're going to do is we had a top three list that we loved to do in the past, but now since it's just the two of us, since it's just Char and me, we're going to be doing a top five, and it's a little bit of a spin. It's not just the top five best episodes, but it's more of a, if you had five episodes to watch in a row... Like you had a Saturday where no one's around and you just want to chill out and have pizza, Mountain Dew, and Voyager.
Yep. Hot date with Netflix.
Absolutely. Like what five episodes would you love to watch in one Saturday? And that is what we're going to talk about today. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We're going to Char's going to give one. I'm going to give one. And then we're going to talk about why we picked it. And we have duplicates. We're going to talk about it together.
Sounds good, buddy. Let's go.
All right, let's kick this pig. All right, so Char, what is your first episode that you would love to watch on this blissful Saturday?
Okay, yeah, blissful indeed, man. This is most of the time my Saturday, in fact. But these days I'm watching Voyager to prepare for the podcast, not necessarily doing straightforward marathons, but...
So it's like your job now. Like, does that hurt it?
It's work, man. I'm dedicated. I got to watch my episodes. I got to take my notes. Yeah, it's a job, man. It's a labor of love. All right. Yeah. If I were not preparing for a podcast and I had the whole Saturday free, the husband is not with me, so I am free to watch Star Trek and I'm watching Season 1, where better to start than the beginning? Let's go with Caretaker.
See, I knew you were going to choose Caretaker. That's why I didn't pick it, because I was like, Char is going to choose Caretaker.
Oh, am I getting that predictable?
Yes, yes, you are, because we've talked, the Caretaker is on so many of our lists that
well,
I was like,
it's
okay,
good.
It's a great episode, and if it wasn't for this show, like if it wasn't for the fact that we talk about it all the time, which, I mean, I'm going to love to talk about it again just now with you.
Okay.
But like, it's just like, I was like, okay, so because Char is going to talk about Caretaker, I'm going to give the listeners a little break from me talking about Caretaker, because I talk about it all the time. I talk about it more than you do. Why is this a good start for the beginning of your Season 1 marathon?
All right. Well, as far as Star Trek pilots are concerned, this, in my opinion, is one of the best. I would also say Enterprise's Broken Bow is also very good. But... Other Trek series, they've had a little bit of a rough start. Like, I don't exactly get in the mood to watch Encounter at Farpoint. Oh. No offense to the guys at Earl Grey, but it's not a good episode.
So the guys at Earl Grey, they like Encounter at Farpoint?
I don't really know if they do or not, but I don't want them to think I'm insulting TNG, at least not too much. I do love TNG, too, and I love those guys. If you haven't listened to that podcast, check it out.
You should.
Voyager is my baby. And I felt like Caretaker was a really good, solid start. We got to know a little bit about all of the characters and why they came together on this ship. And she started on her way home. Mm-hmm. So what more can you want? I mean, that set Voyager up for the rest of its journey. It did what it needed to do, and it did it well.
It's hard not to use this as the beginning of a marathon, whether it's a best of all seven seasons or just a best of Season 1. It's really hard not to squeeze this one in and just say, okay, we got to start with Caretaker.
Yeah, well, and especially for a Season 1 specific marathon. If you don't have this on your list, I think something's wrong with you.
And also, I mean,
sorry.
there's only 16 episodes in Season 1. So
I know.
You don't have as many to pick from as the other seasons.
This is true, yes. But you definitely have to start with Caretaker. That's just my rule. And, you know, it's our podcast. So what we say goes.
You know how much I love Caretaker. And mm-hmm. you know that I'm right there with you where I think that it's one of, if not the best series opener. I really do. Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw that out there. I think that Caretaker is the best series one of a Star Trek series, because you look at TOS, I mean, come on. And
yeah, no.
Yeah, Encounter at Farpoint, you know, like, you know, everybody knows the backstory about how it was originally just one plot, and then they had to throw in the Q plot because it needed to be longer, and it felt like a mishmash because it was a mishmash. And then you have Emissary with Deep Space Nine, which, I mean, is an okay episode, but it's nowhere near as good as Caretaker. And like you said, Broken Bow is a good episode.
DS9 was okay, but DS9 got so much better as it went along. Yeah. It makes the pilot look like child's play.
Yes. I think that's well put. But with Voyager, you get everything. You get great backstories between Paris and, you know, a little bit of Janeway. And I just feel like there are some great character introductions that did it better than any other show.
Agreed. And one thing I do love the most about Voyager is its characters, and I fell in love with all of these people at once in Caretaker. Now, did you watch Caretaker when it debuted?
I did.
It was, what, early January 1995? I did.
Yeah, I remember that it was cold outside. And
same for me.
And for some reason, my tape didn't work.
Oh, no.
When I recorded it, I was really pissed off and I was really worried. And then the next day, actually, no, a couple days later, my dad comes to me and is like, hey, I got something for you. And a friend of his at work taped it and then gave it to me.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so I was super excited that that happened. So
totally. Yeah. Oh, what a horrible time for the tape to not do its thing. For a pilot of a brand new show, are you kidding me?
I know.
My junior high self would have been tearing my hair out. Fortunately, that did not happen to me. And my dad and I made a little bit of an event for it. I mean, we cleared our schedules. We were in front of that TV waiting mm-hmm. with anticipation. And there it was. The tape was going. We just had a great time with it.
I remember when they announced Voyager, when they were talking about, okay, like TNG was wrapping up. Like it was the day that All Good Things was going to air.
Uh-huh.
And the day that they aired All Good Things for the first time, they had a top 10 fan favorites.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Oh, like, I watched the heck out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I also taped that, and it was hosted by Jonathan Frakes.
Yes.
And like in between each episode, they had a little behind the scenes information about the episode and also talked about the future. And then they also gave you previews to All Good Things. And one of the things that they talked about right before they aired All Good Things is they're like, we already have Deep Space Nine and Star Trek's Not Over. And also in addition to Deep Space Nine, you know, Rick Berman and Jerry Taylor and Brandon Braga, they are developing a new series where a new crew will boldly go where no one has gone before. And then they showed like concept designs of the ship. Like they didn't even have the ship designed yet. And
yeah, this was so early.
Yeah. And it was just really, really cool to see that. And like, that's, you know, like imprinted on my brain.
Oh yeah, me too. Totally. I had that special on tape and wore it out.
Yes,
oh, how
absolutely.
I loved it. I loved every little thing about it. Jonathan Frakes, he gave an autograph to some friend.
That's
it was
right.
like a horrible setup skit, but I just loved it.
Yeah, it was totally staged. It was
staged. No doubt about it. But oh man, yeah. Oh, you're bringing back so many memories. 1994 was an incredible year for Star Trek.
Oh man, the golden age of Star Trek was the mid 90s.
We had no idea how good that was.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. We just spent 10 minutes on Caretaker.
Hey, it's worthy of that. It's the pilot. But what's your first one?
My first one is Parallax. The second episode.
Oh, okay. Well, at least we're going in order here.
We're going in order. Yeah, I wanted to go in broadcast order, so.
All right. Well, why do you like Parallax?
Well, I like Parallax because it's already established where Caretaker is done, and they're like, okay, we're in the Delta Quadrant. What are we going to do now? You know, everybody had this sense of, okay, we're in for the long haul here, you know, and I like that it started with a dude's nose getting busted. Like, you know, like it was really cool because
How better?
I felt this set the tone for Voyager quite well, even though Voyager did not deliver on that tone for the rest of the series.
I know, yeah.
It was still nice that they set it this way because we're like, oh, really? Like, we didn't see the nose break, but we saw the aftermath. And how cool is that, that one officer broke the nose of another? Like, that would never happen in Enterprise D. That would never happen in TOS unless they were in a bar with somebody else. This was officer to officer.
That did show that Voyager was going to go into a little bit of a different territory. These people were renegades and they were not compliant Starfleet people. And that is what made this episode exciting. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And they started it out right. And we got an episode that focused on B'Elanna, which is one of my favorite characters in all of Star Trek. And and also, like, if you just want to get into the story, it was classic sci-fi. Okay, it's classic sci-fi, it's classic Star Trek, where, like, oh, holy crap, we're stuck in an anomaly in space, and we don't know what to do, and, like, how are we going to get out of it? And then the episode ends with Janeway and B'Elanna in a shuttlecraft together, just yelling scientific technobabble back and forth to each other until they come up with something mildly coherent. And you can totally tell that these actors have not found their characters yet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, you know, and so it kind of makes me smile a little bit. You know, like, I know that a lot of people don't like watching earlier episodes because of that very reason, but I like to do that because I know that they do find their characters.
Yeah, it is fun to go back and just see how raw they are, how unrefined they are in that second episode of the whole series. Absolutely. I actually did not choose Parallax because of the technobabble. I feel like it's a bit much. But I do love the fact that Janeway and B'Elanna have that bonding time. And they're just totally nerding out with one another. Nobody else in that ready room existed to them. And they solve this problem together. And that's how B'Elanna becomes chief engineer. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a beautiful introduction. You're like, yes, we are going to have a Maquis run the engine room. And this is why. And she proves herself in this episode.
Yeah, and she's good.
Yeah, yeah, and also we get to see the Doctor slowly shrink.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, too. I mean, it's always good to have something happen with the Doctor.
All right, what is your number two?
Okay, number two, we're going to skip Time and Again and go straight over to Phage.
That is my second one, so we'll be able to talk about it together.
Well, let's discuss this. All right. Well, this is, of course, the introduction to one of our favorite Voyager aliens, the Vidians. Which we've talked about at length. We devoted a whole podcast to them already, so I won't go into too much detail.
And you guys should find it, because it's a good one.
Yeah, it is good. And the Vidians are good. They are scary. They're a unique threat. And I just love that about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like this episode was a nice view of Neelix. And it's nice to see people at their worst. And this was definitely... We got to see Neelix at his worst, at least in his worst state, because, you know, he didn't want to live anymore because he's like, what is living if I'm just laying down and staring at a ceiling for the rest of my life? And
he can't move an inch.
He literally can't move an inch. And I just felt like this was a nice character building episode. And it also showed Kes's devotion to him, even though I feel like Kes probably would have done that for any member of the crew because that's her personality.
Yeah, well... Yes, she would have, but...
But it still shows their relationship, and I'm one of the few people who actually liked their relationship. It was just, you know, it showed off the Doctor, you know, and it showed off what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. It was a very creative solution he had.
Yeah, this was the first of many. Like, this was the first of many of creative solutions that this Doctor was going to do things that no human Doctor's ever done before.
Right.
And I felt like that was pretty cool. Like, what were some other reasons that you chose it besides just, you know, the introduction to the Vidians?
I think it's got some great humor in it, especially between Neelix and the Doctor. So I love it for that, definitely.
Absolutely.
And I think the dialogue between Neelix and Kes is also very well done. It shows that they really do care about one another. You see how they face this situation together, not just as two separate people, but together as a couple. And no, I am not a fan of Neelix and Kes like you are, but you know what? If we have to go along with it, at least we get that. You know what I mean? It's realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It shows that they're devoted, and I like that.
Yes, it's, I mean, he saved her, and she knows that she wouldn't be there if it wasn't for him.
Right.
And so I feel like this was her way of paying him back in a way.
Exactly. Yes.
I also find it funny that this episode was originally supposed to be centered around Paris, and it was supposed to be his heart taken out instead of his lungs.
That is hilarious, considering Threshold, where he grows a second
yes.
one.
Yes, I was hoping you'd bring that up, because I was like, the man, you know, who acted his hearts out was originally supposed to lose it.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting how that would have gone, huh?
Yes, exactly. Like, normally, last time I checked, when the heart is removed, you're dead. But
usually, yeah. But this is Star Trek.
This is Star Trek. All right. Well, I'll just go ahead and skip to my third one then.
Go for it.
And I have a pretty good feeling this is probably going to be your third one, too.
Okay.
I chose Eye of the Needle.
Oh, you skipped a really important one.
Oh, really? Okay, we'll talk about that one.
Yeah, really? Well, my third one is The Cloud.
Yes, I knew. We all know that your third one is The Cloud now,
yeah.
But we're going to talk about mine first.
Okay.
So, Eye of the Needle. Did you choose Eye of the Needle? Was that your
yes,
fourth one?
Yes, of course I did.
Okay, all right. See, okay, so we'll talk about it together.
Yes.
Eye of the Needle is important because this was their first glimpse of We Could Go Home.
Yep.
This was the first of many.
Six episodes in, they're resorting to that, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, you know, no one was like, oh, yeah, they're totally going to get home, you know, halfway through the first
season.
Yeah,
no, we have seven more seasons to do.
Yeah, no one was fooled. But it's nice to see the actors and the characters go through this sequence.
Yes.
And, of course, we all know that Harry was the worst one. And it was just really cool to see them try to figure out this problem and like and also to see a micro wormhole. And also I love the audio conversation where it was no video for a long time.
Yes.
And the conversation that Janeway had with the Romulan, which she did not know was a Romulan,
I don't think she knew at the time. It took some time to figure that out until she could really get him to open up and say who he was.
Yes, yes. And if I'm remembering it correctly. And I just felt like that was a very good conversation. And we got to see her in her pajamas for the first time.
Yep, the pink nightie.
The pink nightie. And I just thought this was a good, we're almost making it home episode.
Right. It's not the fact that they could have gotten home, because we all knew that that was a farce, yes. It was the execution of the fallout that really makes this episode beautiful. And it emotionally, it still tore me up, even though I knew it was going to happen. It was just how?
Yes.
Yeah, and I've talked at length so much about why I like this episode. I don't want to repeat myself. So, unless you've got something else to say, why don't we move on?
Well, I do have one other thing to say. I think it's kind of funny that Star Trek the magazine ranked this as the third best episode of Voyager's first season, and it is third on my list. So I'm just going to say, you know, like the editors of Star Trek magazine and I have a lot in common. So I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, so you're right on par with them. All right.
All right, so let's talk about your third one.
Okay, my third one is The Cloud. I think this episode is highly underrated. It has got such great character moments. Yes, the A-plot is boring, but that means it services all this character knowledge that we get to absorb in this hour of TV, and that's why I like it so much. Like, okay, consider all that we learn here, all right? It starts off with Janeway seeking coffee in the mess hall, and then we get Neelix's substitute, which is more like chocolate syrup than coffee.
Yeah.
And Neelix, we get his rant about putting the ship in danger in the name of exploration. I love that moment because many fans, he's speaking for us. Like, we all have thought this. Let me read the quote. He says, "These people are natural-born idiots, if you ask me. They don't appreciate what they have here. This ship is the match of any vessel within 100 light years, and what did they do with it? Well, oh, let's see if we can't find some random space anomaly today and see if it might rip it apart." It's true. It's so true.
Yeah, it really is.
It is. But then, okay, we get even more than that. We get Chakotay introducing Janeway to her animal guide for the first time.
And it was a lizard.
And it's a lizard, yes. I think it was the Geico Gecko before we even knew that's what it was.
I was wondering why he had a British accent in her spirit quest.
Yeah, well, he needed more work. And we were also introduced to Sandrines for the first time. And we learned that Janeway is quite the pool shark. And we also learned some weird things about Harry, like he sleeps with a blindfold. And so what's not to love about this episode? I mean, do I need to keep going?
Well, no, this isn't one of my favorites like the rest of the fan base. But, I mean, I do see what you mean. Like you said, the A-plot is absolutely boring, but we get a lot of cool moments in here. And we get a lot of introductions. And so for that, it's a good episode to watch in a marathon just because you're introduced to all these cool things.
Yeah. It's so much character development, and you want that in the first season. So we know who the heck these people are. So I felt like this was a very smart episode.
I think so, too. I mean, even though it's not one of my favorites, I do recognize what's great about it. All right. So my fourth one, and I guess we're caught up now, I think.
We're going to be even now. Yeah.
Yeah. My fourth one is State of Flux.
Ooh, okay. This was my honorable mention. I almost put it on my list.
I mean, the simple fact why I chose this one is because of Seska's betrayal.
Yes. It's so good.
Like, we're going to continue on with these episodes. Like, we're going to do, like, a marathon of season two, a marathon of season three.
Oh, yeah.
So say you did this every Saturday for 7 Saturdays.
Yeah.
If you were going to continue on doing this, you would need this episode to continue with the Seska storyline.
It's true.
Because it works on so many things and so many levels all the way into season two and the beginning of season three. And then even you think you're done? No, you have 2 more Seska episodes as you go through for the next 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she pops up in Timeless, and then she also pops up in Worst Case Scenario.
Shattered.
Thank you. You will not understand any of that unless you watch State of Flux. Now, granted, if you're a fan, of course, you're going to understand it. You don't need to rewatch it, but it's still a good idea, you know, to have a refresher course. One other thing that I like is we have this moment at the end of the episode between Chakotay and Tuvok, and we don't get too many of those.
No, we do not.
And, you know, like, they didn't like each other at the beginning because, you know, Tuvok betrayed Chakotay by being an infiltrator himself, and that's what they're talking about at the end of this episode. And Chakotay was just, you know, like, even in that episode later on, actually, I don't know if it's in this episode or a later one where Chakotay goes, "You were working for the captain. Seska's working for the Cardassians. Was anybody working for me on that ship?"
I think it was this episode. That's a great quote.
That is a great quote. And we also have a really nice moment, like a real moment between the two of them at the end where Chakotay's like, "I feel like a blind man. You know, I feel like an idiot." And Tuvok's like, "Yeah, it's okay." You know, like he made him feel better. So that was another reason why I chose this episode.
Yes. And that was such good stuff because the friction between those two, it was nice to see them smooth it out just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't going to hate each other forever. They were going to work out their differences. I like that.
All right. Well, The last one. Go ahead and give your last one.
Okay. Well, my other honorable mention was Prime Factors.
Okay.
But I put that on the wayside because recently, Marielle Kieran and I discussed Faces on the Ready Room, and I remembered why I love this episode so freaking much, and I had to put it in my marathon list. Because it's just superb in every way. Roxanne Dawson, she just knocks it out. She plays the fully Klingon and the fully human version of B'Elanna. The makeup is good and creepy, like for Durst's face grafted onto the Vidian. I mean, that's a hell of a makeup job. But most importantly, the message of this story, I don't know about you, but it's something I can definitely relate to. About really wanting to be rid of those qualities that I just don't like about myself. But with B'Elanna, she realizes, oh, I need those things to be me. And it's true for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great message, and it's a great episode. And I didn't pick it, but it was close because, you know, I love me some B'Elanna.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't put it on your list.
I know. I tried. I thought about it for a long time, but this one, I never really connected that much with this one because I couldn't stand fully Klingon B'Elanna.
Was it the teeth?
It was the teeth. That I know it sounds foolish and silly to blame it on that. It's just and last time we talked about Faces, I did talk about this, and it's just the thing is that Michael Dorn he was Worf for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And so he had 15 years to get used to those teeth. You know, right. But Roxanne Dawson had one episode, you know, so.
Yeah, she, I mean, they probably gave them to her the day she had to report there for the makeup, and
yeah.
She had no practice time with it whatsoever and had to go off and do it. But the thing is none of the other actors have had this problem either, so we never noticed it.
We never noticed it, and it's just, so I don't blame Roxanne Dawson, and I know I did this impression last time we talked about it, but I can't stand it, because she's just like, you killed Durst. You know, it's just, it's right. So rough. It's rough.
It's not Klingon at all. As I said on the Ready Room, it sounds like Shelley from South Park.
You're right. We did talk about that last time.
What do you turds want?
You turds you want. It, yeah. It's like we could have put Shelley in the episode and no one would have noticed.
No.
I'm overplaying it. I'm overselling it. No. This is a good episode. And I do love seeing Roxanne Dawson play two essentially different characters.
Yeah. And she just does an amazing job. And then when she is herself again, as B'Elanna. I love the fact that this episode doesn't end by putting a pretty little bow on top and Voyager sails off into the stars and everything is happily ever after. No, this is just the start of her coping with what she went through. And I love that.
And like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, the episode ends with her kind of like brushing her forehead and missing her ridges. And it was such a physical remembering of what she has and what she lost and what she'll need again.
Exactly. Boom. Nailed it.
Boom.
Drop the mic. So I believe we've got only one more.
And
that is your fifth one. What is it?
I want you to guess what my last one is, because if you don't, then you don't know me and we haven't been doing this for a year.
Oh my God. You're putting me on the spot here and I'm going to screw it up so horribly.
Probably.
Because, oh man. It's got to be Jatrell, isn't it?
It is Jatrell.
Okay, thank God.
of course it's Jatrell.
I would have felt so horrible if I would have not guessed it.
Yeah, if you guys have been listening for as long as we've been doing this or for as long as I've been associated with Trek FM, you should know that if I'm going to pick episodes from season one, even probably all of Voyager, one of them is always going to be Jatrell. I absolutely love this episode. I think it's one of the best in season one. I think it's one of the best in Voyager. I think it's one of the best in all of Star Trek. I feel like this is Ethan Phillips just knocking it out of the park. I feel like Ethan Phillips nails this, and we are along with him on this journey, and we are with him every step of the way when it comes to this emotional roller coaster. And none of us, not a single person, can fully understand having your entire planet destroyed, but
no, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully, but all of us have gone through loss, and that's what this is about. It's about loss that is like it. I've always equated it to someone's whose entire family was killed by a drunk driver, and then that drunk driver trying to apologize years later.
Ooh.
And think about how crazy of a situation that would be. You would not want to forgive this person.
Oh, no.
No.
No, you're absolutely right.
This person killed your family because they made a bad decision. And so this episode is often related to the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima, which is what the writers intended. But we can also take it on a much more personal level for people who weren't involved with anyone in World War II. And that's why I love this, because it's a parallel of a real-world event that even people who aren't associated with it can relate to on a personal level. And it ends with forgiveness and hope, which I feel like so many films and TV shows are losing today. And I think it's such an important message, and it's something that we should all think about and contemplate. That's why that episode is on this list.
Okay, you make a very good case for it. And I do agree, the fact that it does end on a more optimistic note, well, that's Star Trek. Why do we watch this show? It's because of the vision of a better future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can't get much better than Star Trek than this episode because of that optimistic future. A horrible thing happened because of science fiction reasoning, but yet we can still relate to it, and we have hope at the end. That is Star Trek. That is Star Trek. It's looking at our own lives and our own history through a sci-fi lens.
Yep. That's what the whole thing is. That's what it's supposed to be, anyway, more often than not.
All right. Well, that was our top five episodes to marathon for season one. We would absolutely love for you to give us your list. Just go to trek.fm/forums and start up a conversation. Keep it going. Let us know what you would pick and why. And then everybody else can chime in. But this is not the only thing that we're looking at through a sci-fi lens this week. All over Trek.fm, we have been giving you fantastic shows that have been analyzing, commenting, ripping, and praising on great Star Trek moments. And
we do it all.
Yeah. Here's what you might have missed earlier this week. Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
TOS Remastered with Dave Rossi.
We took one day and we all went down in front of a green screen. I had a Captain Kirk shirt on. I don't remember where I got it from. Oh, yes, I do. My closet.
Earl Grey.
Ensign Row commentary.
Here we have someone who is kind of bucking authority and is kind of trying to go against the grain, but she does it in a way that shows that she has some sort of depth of character.
The Orb.
His Way commentary.
I love that he says, what does fun have to do with Major Kira? And James Darren's
I know,
like,
I love that.
What do you mean, what is fun? Come on.
Face palm.
Yeah, exactly.
The Ready Room.
The Catwalk.
But this was a really, his trainer, Scott Rowe, was talking about in the interview I did with him back in the day, how this was a hard show because normally when they had Porthos, it was Scott and Porthos working. And maybe one other character or two other characters. And these, if you watch how Porthos was in this show, they kind of had him in the quarters with Scott, and I watched most of the show. I didn't see the last nth degree of it. But most of the time, they would do stuff with him, like peeking out of a bulkhead and all that.
To the journey!
USS Voyager.
If it was, like, really blooming with color, you're like, oh, they're going really fast or something's happening. Like, you could...
Yeah, excitement!
Like, it was instantly... you instantly knew exactly what was going on.
And if Q Jr. is on board, it becomes a disco.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Harlan Ellison
is a crazy person because only a crazy person could come up with such an amazing name for a sci-fi drug. Come on, that's so much better than bath salts. Why don't we call them the Jewels of Sound?
Warp 5.
Trip Tucker.
You know, they're not really career Starfleet people, even though Trip has had a career in Starfleet. He's an engineer, you know, and that's what he does and that's what he loves. And so all this other stuff's really new to him.
Literary Treks.
The best of Klingons.
We haven't talked about yet, Chris, but there is one Klingon in here that is not like the other.
That's right. One of these Klingons is not like the other. One of these Klingons doesn't belong.
One of these Klingons is a friend of the Federation.
One of these Klingons and Bryce will get along.
Wow, this show has gone off the rails.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows because they are awesome. Get your daily Trek Talk fix. We have new shows coming out every day of the week, and you can find them basically anywhere. You can find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Windows Phone, even your Xbox or Zune. Or if you just want to go to our website, you can do that. Go to trek.fm/pd for the podcast directory. You get all the links right there. Now, before we go, we want to mention iTunes reviews because we love iTunes reviews. And since we're headed into the season of giving, nothing would make us happier than writing a review for us. And the more reviews we have, the easier it is for other fans to find the show and commentate, and we'll just get this party going madder than ever. So if you give us 5 stars and write us a review, in return, we'll give you a shout out on the show because we like to give and receive on To the Journey. And if you've already written us a review, and if you had, thank you, and you want to contribute to the show, we would love to know if you have topic ideas.
Yes, please.
That you would like us to discuss on the show. If we pick your topic, we'll acknowledge you on the show, much like we did with Gene Russell, who gave us our topic last week. So please go to trek.fm/contact. Let us know if you have any ideas, or if you just want to talk to us, you can write us love letters at that same address. And if you don't want to do that, you can also contact us on Twitter.
That's right. You can find me at The Insane Robin.
And you can find me at Oh The Profanity. One more thing before we close up the shop. Let's take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor. Tristan, tell us more.
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. All right, well, next week we are going to have a good time, and I always love doing this. We're going to do an episode commentary, and we are going to do it on the 37s, and it should be an interesting time because I absolutely love the 37s.
And I don't.
So, it should be pretty interesting how well it goes, and even if it doesn't go well, you should tune in to see if it's a train wreck. So,
you know, anything could happen. I think we're going to have some great contrasts, some differences of opinion. It's going to be an interesting time no matter what we say.
All right, until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!